Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast. Well, well, well.
Well, well, well.
It's Sunday, but we're really excited because tomorrow...
we have a day off.
We have a day off of work.
And if you are doing service or you're just taking the day off, we're happy for you. If you have to work, our hearts are with you and we're sorry. But hopefully a lot of you have some time off or at least a slow Monday if you're working.
Very pertinent to today's conversation.
Very. That was unintentional. Today we're going to talk a little bit about like careers, both the everyday anxiety that comes with a job and then the overall what am I doing with my life career anxiety.
Oh, my favorite.
It's
just kidding. It's not my favorite, but no, it's not. But it's definitely real.
We have a lot to say about it.
So do you mind if I lie down like this?
No, I like seeing you from this angle.
Should we like get the cameras rolling?
Excuse me. There's two photographers here and neither of them are helping.
So today in the studio, we have Alana Paris, our momager. And we have
a very special guest.
Shaking
he
his
came
head.
All the way from Philadelphia.
He's shaking his head.
He doesn't want to be featured on the podcast. Chris, it's okay to talk about mental health. Oh my God. He's just scrolling on Twitter.
My feet are up and I'm just getting comfortable because, you know, when I talk about career anxiety, I like to lie down.
Not your fault.
Let's start with peak and pay of the week. Do you want to start, Liz?
No. Can you please start?
Sure. So my pit of the week was, just for some background, you all know that I have a huge fear of losing people. And so that was kind of tested this week, just not knowing if I was going to lose someone in my life or not. Not physically, but just emotionally, or don't know where I stood. So that definitely tested my anxiety. But one of the positives that came out of that was that I've been really working on just being okay with whatever the outcome is and not letting the anxiety get the best of me and just practicing talking back to it. And I really feel like this week I've made a lot of progress in that. And I was able to like actually calm myself down like without help, which is a first, you know. So I was really excited. I was like, hey, like I just calmed myself down and I told myself everything was going to be okay. And then I believed myself. Like,
so that was your peak sort of turning around your anxiety or did you have a different one?
I had a different specific peak.
Okay,
and that was just that. Sorry, what were you?
I was going to say, I'm glad that, you know, the pit was able to be sort of resolved.
Yeah, that was just a positive out of the pit. I mean, the pit was, it still happened, but I guess just the positive part of it was that I was able to work on the anxiety, which is great. But my peak of the week was that I had a very nice dinner on Friday night with my friends and it was just a good time. A long dinner, a drawn out dinner, but it was a really good time.
Yeah, there was a lot of storytelling, prayers, food. You sound like the TikTok. We did a really good job.
The reason why we're laughing is because... it was just a long dinner and we weren't expecting it to go that long and we loved it. But like by the end, we were all yawning.
We were all together. Me, Sarah, Alana, and some of our other friends. Chris was there. And it was fun. We had good food. I didn't feel very good after because there was so much food I didn't realize.
Oh, yeah. Same. Oh, that was definitely a pit. Was that I got sick on Saturday morning because I ate so much on Friday night.
Oh, I didn't realize that you had gotten that. I know you were sick, but I didn't realize it was...
Sick.
Enough for you to be like, dang.
Yeah, like I thought I couldn't continue with my day. Anyway, enough about me. Liz, what about you?
So my pit of the week was I've had to do a little bit more training at work. So basically telling other people how to do my job. And that gives me major imposter syndrome because when I'm teaching someone else, I'm like, A, how am I qualified to teach you? And B, now everyone's going to realize that I'm not good at this because there's someone else learning what I'm doing. And so that's going to make it more publicly available, like publicly noticeable that I'm not good at this because I have to tell someone else what I'm doing. And that made me really nervous, but I did talk about it with my roommate a little bit and she told me that that was really normal and that that's something that she experienced when she was training new people too. Like she was going to be found out now that she's
imposter
teaching,
syndrome.
Right. That now that she's teaching someone else. But I think I've started to feel a little bit more comfortable, and hopefully the result of that will actually be the opposite and someone will be able to do some of the things that I do, which is really great. And we're going to talk a little bit about that during the episode today. And then my peak was a little bit different, but this week I was talking a little bit about my sister Delia on Instagram, because she's just awesome and she has some really fun and positive habits that my dad actually was like, you should talk about this on the podcast, because Delia has some anxiety. She's 9, and my dad texted me that every day she listens to Best Day of My Life by American Authors.
I saw that. That was the cutest thing ever.
And like to psych herself up in the mirror. And so I shared it on my Instagram story. And then I realized that a lot of people who follow me probably don't know the structure of my family, and maybe even some people who listen. And I'm not going to get into it, because the whole point of putting it on Instagram was that people could visually see it. But my parents were divorced, and then they each had kids separately later. So I have a bunch of younger half siblings, and I actually explained it on my story so that people could kind of understand, thinking like, okay, there's like probably one or two people who care about this at all. And a lot of people DM me either saying like, I was scared to ask about this, so I'm glad you shared, or there's people who have blended families and they're like, I really appreciate when people talk about this, because even though there's much more blended families than there were 30 years ago, there's just a lot of misunderstanding about it. And so there are people who related to me, and I just appreciated that people cared about it and that people felt seen by it. So that was really, really cool. And I like talking about my siblings. I'll take any opportunity to do it.
And I knew what the family tree looked like, and I loved it. Like, thank I still you. Enjoyed it. You know, it was just like so cute, and you yeah. did it really well.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was visually very nice to yeah. look at. And I enjoyed it a lot.
I think I'm going to put it on highlights so that people can like refer to it when they're confused, and I'll yeah. just direct them to it. But yeah, that was pretty cool. Today we wanted to talk about careers. Feels very top of mind, doesn't it? We did talk about it last week too. Interestingly, that was, I think, your... I don't remember if it was your, if it,
it was,
your, it was your pit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a lot to say about careers, just because not only do we face struggles every day mm-hmm. with feeling like maybe we're not doing a good job, or maybe we want to get promoted, or we want to get a raise, we don't know how to ask for it, et cetera, et cetera. But also the overlying question of like, what do I want to do with my life? Mm-hmm. And I think that especially like 20 somethings, we saw the older generation kind of like graduate from college or you know, start in the workforce wherever they were at, and they picked a career, and that was their career for life. Mm-hmm. Like my parents came to America, they both went to school in France. My dad went to the army in America, and then, you know, after that they started their career together, and they've been in the same job for 35 years. I mean, they own a business together, but like there was no question of like, what do I really want to do with my life? It was just like, let me choose a career that's going to make me money and support my children for the rest of my life. And they've been doing the same thing for 35 years. And like, of course, there have been ups and downs. Like, there's no question. It has not been just one like straight line going up. It has been ups and downs, working every weekend, working vacations, whatever it is. But they didn't really consider like, what do I really want to be doing?
Right.
And so now I think in our generation, we do have more opportunities to do what like is really calling to us. And you don't necessarily need to stay at one job for the rest of your life. Like people now are hopping between agencies, and it's acceptable and it's encouraged because you're getting different experiences, and recruiters can look at your resume and say like, oh, wow, this person has really done a lot. But there's also a balance because you don't want to jump from too many places. So I think there's a lot of pressure because on one hand we're like, okay, like what do I want to do with my life? But yeah. on the other hand, it's like you also have so many opportunities.
I think it's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
I think you're touching on that. My parents' generation was just kind of, or even more so their parents' generation, it was like you do a trade mm-hmm. or you go to graduate school and that's what you do, or you work in the family business. And I think there's good and bad to that. The good is that, you know, it's just laid out for you. There's no choice. You do what you do. Your career is not supposed to necessarily be your passion. Mm-hmm. And you make money and you take care of your family, or you have your role in your family. And then that's that. And my dad has sort of tried to echo this sentiment to me. And I don't totally disagree with him. He's like, you know, I just picked a job mm-hmm. that would allow me to do the things on the side that I like to do. Like he worked really hard to go to medical school. And so now he's able to do like, he's able to play music on the side. He was like, I couldn't have been a musician. I wouldn't have been able to support you and right. whatever. And of course there's musicians who it is their job. Shout out to the Jonas Brothers. Like y'all don't have to work a real job.
What a man gotta do.
What a man gotta do. And but at the same time, I do think that there's that's really limited because I think that it's not impossible to make something that you're passionate about your career, or at the very least, you can have a job that you don't hate being at. You know what I mean?
That's I think that that is like my struggle right now because like here's the thing. The thing is, I see influencers and they look like they just have the most
the life.
Amazing careers and jobs, and they get fulfillment from their jobs all the time. And I know that Freckled Foodie, when she came on, she was like, it's not what it seems. Like, it's hard. And I know that you think that being an influencer is like the best job ever and that doesn't come with any stresses, but it does. And you are still anxious just for different reasons.
Yeah.
And I understand that. But I'm trying to, like, I think that part of me thinks that I see all these other people and they just adore their jobs. And I don't adore my job. I like it some days. Most of the time I'm like, ugh. And I just don't know if I should be like loving it more or if this is normal or what. Like, I think when we do this podcast, it's like Liz and I are so passionate about it that I'm like, well, I wish this was my full-time job. But then if this was my full-time job, like, would I then start to be like, well, it's just a job. Like, how would I feel about it? So I don't know. Like, I wish I could be doing like a true passion for my career. But I also like with that comes a lot of stress because you might not be getting a steady income.
And also your passion, when your passion becomes your work, it's
not
work.
Your passion anymore.
Right. Yeah. So I do think that it's
like I could never work for the Jonas Brothers. And right. I know that.
Yeah.
But I hear a lot of people being like, I want to work for the Jonas Brothers. I'm like, don't mix work and play.
Don't mix work and play. But here's what I'm trying to get at is I would love to have a career that's more adjacent to the things that I like. Like, I don't want to work for the Kardashians, but I would love to work for, you know, a digital brand that works with them or works or does similar work to what they're doing. Like, I'm actually looking more toward doing like influencer marketing. I don't want to, you know, I've started to do some partnerships on my Instagram, but I don't want my full-time job to be that. Mm-hmm. At least maybe not. Like, maybe someday that would be more suitable for me, but I'd love to work in an industry that's trying to trying to integrate more into the modern space. And I think that I would be good at it. And I've started to talk to people about it. That's like sort of where I'm at in trying to find a balance between like a corporate job and then doing like full-time influencing mental health advocacy stuff, like working in a space that's between those two.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let y'all know like if I do it and how I feel about it when I get there. But I don't know. It's hard because I don't know, like, do we want to do something that makes us money so that we can afford to do things on the side that keep us happy? But then we're at a job from, you know, at least 40 hours a week that we don't enjoy. Are there jobs that will pay us a livable wage enough so we can still do those things and not be miserable sitting at the desk? Probably. I just don't know where to find them and how we know before we even sit down at the desk. Like, that's the other thing is the career, the interview process is you don't necessarily get a very clear picture of what your life is going to look like until you're doing it. And then you get anxiety about, well, now I've only been here for 3 months. Do I leave?
Right. I think there's a lot of like there's a huge difference between our generation and the one before us because to them it was like work is work.
Right.
Like a job is a job. And then pleasure is pleasure.
Right.
For us, our generation is mixing the two. And so it's like almost inevitable to be like, well, why is my job not like fun? Like, why am I not doing what I love? But I think that, as you were saying, like there's a difference between doing what you love and doing what you're actually good at.
Yeah.
So for you, for example, you're good at like you love influencer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also good at social and you're good at putting yourself out there. And and you have the eye for like what it takes to do that. So I could see you working in that field.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like if I like for me, I like think influencers are really cool. And like I wish I was one and I wish I made like millions of dollars by posting on Instagram. But I don't think I necessarily have the eye for what it takes to be an influencer. So like I would use my skills of like being like energetic and very much a people person in communication still in that same field, which I'm in now, but I don't necessarily think that I could ever actually be like an influencer because that's not where my skills are.
Right. I mean, it's interesting because I think just talking to your friends can actually help you. I'm already thinking of what are things that you could do that might fulfill you. And you love TikTok and I don't think you want that to be your job. But you
I was making as much as they were.
That
Chase
would be.
Hudson was wearing a $4,000 outfit from Dolce & Gabbana that they dressed him in.
They make a lot of money. But I think you, like you're saying, you're not necessarily the like the creative content. You're not the content creator that would appear on TikTok, but right. you like doing it. And I think if you mixed advertising and TikTok, there's so many brands who are trying to figure out a way to get onto TikTok. And sometimes when I see ads there, right. I'm like, that's bad. And they didn't know how to integrate this properly into the app and the voice.
Right, right.
And I don't know, like if you could find something in that.
Yeah. I mean, I love advertising. Sorry to cut you off.
No, it's okay. It's about like, you.
I love advertising, but right now I'm doing a lot of traditional ads,
yeah.
like TV. And I do a lot of digital, like I do YouTube. I do a lot of Snapchat a lot. And when I get to do those things, like that's when I really like enjoy work. Come alive. Is that the song?
Come alive.
Oh yeah. What was I singing? Oh, summer nights, everybody's by the Rascal Flatts.
Oh,
anyway. So,
I love the Rascal Flatts.
That's the song that Claudia was like,
summer nights.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that I still love advertising, but like when I get to do things that I really know well, like, you know, there's some people that are like, yeah, I'm on social, but then there are people that like know it really well. Like, I think I know how they work because yeah. I spend so much time on them, but I also yeah. like see it from a branding perspective that like it makes me happy at work when like the Snap team comes in and we get to work together and like what I get to do for my brand for Snapchat, like that is where I start to have fun. So I think that like sometimes I just get lost in like the pressure of like, why am I not doing like these cool things that other people are doing? Like, why am I not like loving my job? And then I realize like every job has ups and downs. But I don't know. I struggle and I always think to myself, like, am I doing what I really should be doing? And I think I also like don't have enough patience. Like I don't have the patience to like wait for growth. I just want to like see it now, you know?
Yes.
So it's just hard. It's just I think that's like definitely a millennial thing. Like
it's a millennial thing and it's kind of a New Yorker thing. I was considering maybe people who listen and they might true. Just be trying to figure out like if they're unemployed and they don't know what to do. Like that's a tremendous piece of anxiety for people, I'm sure. And I haven't been in that position, but I can imagine that it's just a scary thing to like not know where your paychecks are coming from mm-hmm. or not know like if you're going to be insured if you're over 26, like if you're no longer on your parents or family's insurance or state insurance. It can just be, I mean, it's I can't really imagine it. And I want to give like airtime to those people in as much as I can, because I think that Sarah and I, while we talk about like what we want to do and how this is all goes back to like the relative stuff, because mm-hmm. we're very anxious about it and it can really be debilitating to us. But there's also people who like don't have a job right now or who are in like a horrible job circumstance and they can't quit because like they're their family's main source of income right. or they're helping someone besides, like maybe they're helping their parents. Maybe they are trying to pay off student debt that's like totally crippling to them. And I don't know. I just like... I wish that people were more okay with taking jobs that aren't seen as glamorous.
I agree.
Because I do think
that's
that
what I'm saying. Like, there's a pressure in our age that like I don't necessarily like the pressure because yeah. it makes me feel like I'm not doing something I love. But it's like I almost wish we still had the mentality that work is work and play is play.
Yes, and that we should give respect to people from all different. Like right. with all different trades, I think there's this like a sense of if I went and told the people I went to school with, hey, I'm actually going to be a nanny for 6 months, they'd be like, why?
Right.
When in reality, being a nanny in New York is making good money. You get to be like you get to make flexible. A lot of connections yeah. with the people. Like it sounds silly, but it's true. When you're a nanny in New York, you make connections with all types of people
totally.
That might ultimately get you into a more sophisticated, quote unquote, job. And yet there's so many people, not just like from my world, but from all over, who look down on other people's jobs or who mm-hmm. look down on what people do. And I think that that's a huge contributor to anxiety. I know people who like if they're unemployed, they say, well, I can never be a waitress. Like who would want to be a waitress? But it's like, you know, at the end of the day, if you need to pay your bills, you need right. to pay your bills. Being a waitress it doesn't have to be your permanent thing.
Right.
And even if it is, like, why are we, who are we to say that that's less than something else?
Of course. I think a lot of people also go into careers that they know will make them good money.
Yeah.
Even though they don't like the job.
Yeah.
And I mean, I respect that too. Like you, if you want to be able, if one of your anxieties stems from not being able to support your family, you know, when you're older, like you know, like you don't, maybe you're not in a relationship, but you know that you don't want to depend on that
yeah.
to be able to have a family, and you want to have a family and support them no matter who is in your life, like as a significant other, like I respect the grind of being like, I want to make a lot of money and I'm going to do that whether or not I like it. Like the thing is that I just feel personally, I just feel pressure to like love my job. And I almost wish that I didn't feel that way because, you know, I respect people who are like, I don't need to be obsessed with my job. It's a job.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I think it's interesting. A lot of people look at careers very differently. But personally, like I look for a lot of my fulfillment in my job because it is every day, all day. And so I look for like happiness and fulfillment in what I'm doing. But I think that just adding this podcast into our lives and also adding yoga has like helped me so much because it's brought me joy outside of work that I don't look for at work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, work gets stressful, but I know that like I have things going on outside of my job that really help. So that's just one piece of advice I would offer up to someone that may not be obsessed with their job.
Yeah.
And maybe you're like, oh, why don't I love my job? Like all these influencers, like they have such easy lives. It's like, okay, well, maybe find something that you're passionate about outside of your work. Mm-hmm. And who knows, maybe that one day will turn into your career.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think probably a year ago when I talked about this with my therapist and saying, like, I don't know if I'm finding fulfillment from my job, but I couldn't just totally be a fashion influencer on Instagram. She was like, why does it have to be one or the other?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I want to preface by saying sometimes when you have like a side hustle, it can really take up a lot of your time, which can be the thing that causes anxiety, because I think over the last year I've felt stretched a little bit thin. And so that's a consideration. But overall, she really made a good point, which was like, you don't have to leap off the cliff to do something new. If you reasonably want to continue making income and have health insurance, but you want to explore something different, why don't you try using an hour a day to build something different for yourself and potentially make a new career without quitting your job? Like, mm-hmm. I think the idea that, oh, I'm going to quit and it's going to be so glamorous because I'm really going to be working hard and my passion is not realistic for most people. So I think being able to kind of explore a side hustle, whether it's a money-making venture or just something that keeps you happy, is something that Sarah and I think have both found has completely changed our lives for the better. I think we talked about this in our episode about being busy. Like, it sucks sometimes and we're tired, but mm-hmm. having things that keep us happy is, I would take that over working 9 to 5 and then having time at the end of the day to like watch TV.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Cause like I realize when I have a lot of free time, as you said, like I end up just doing nothing.
Yep.
And again, sometimes like that's great. Like you should do nothing because that's really good for your mental health. If you need it, like take it. Don't put pressure on yourself. Like, why am I not doing anything?
Right. Yeah.
But personally, and I agree with what you said about New York. Like we live in New York City, which is a very career driven city.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I'll be at home and I'm like, am I getting enough out of like my job? Like, am I getting enough? Like, not money wise, like, am I getting enough
fulfillment?
Am I doing what I want? Like, am I growing? Am I going to get promoted? Like, it's just, I'm always thinking about it because in New York, it's always like promotion here, promotion there. And you know, I want to talk about this really quickly. We made a meme this week and we tweeted something about how like, you go on LinkedIn and
you
see,
feel pressure from other people.
You feel
people.
Pressure because it's like 20 of your connections have been promoted. We had a comment on the meme that we posted on Instagram and someone said something along the lines of other people's success should not threaten you.
So they were sort of being critical of our meme saying like, it's not good to, you know, promote this type of.
Right. Like comparison.
Yeah.
But I, to be honest, that's just how I feel in New York in general. And I think there's, it's not like I don't want others to succeed. Like they should succeed. Everyone should succeed. Like I don't would net like we would never want others to fail so that we could get ahead. Like
right.
That's if you know Liz and I, that is not us.
Yeah.
You know,
but at the same time, when we see it, it can feel selfishly like, oh, crap, what am I doing?
Exactly. And yeah. I think people feel that pressure on Instagram all the time. Think about it. You go on Instagram and you see all of these influencers and you compare. You're like, why don't I love my job like that? Why am I not making that kind of money just to post an Instagram? I know it's more than that, but that's how people feel when they go on Instagram. So I was like, I was a little thrown off because what Liz and I meant when we posted that meme was that LinkedIn is also another source of anxiety.
Well, I think that comparison is human and it didn't exist just in the social media age. We just see it more because we're constantly looking at other people. Whereas, you know, back in the day, you weren't necessarily around other people and constantly talking about other people's accomplishments and jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't as readily apparent that, you know, there weren't things that you could easily pick apart and get jealous of. But now that we live in a space where we're constantly seeing other people, it's top of mind. And I think that's why anxiety is probably a little bit more of a problem now than it was. I do think that now we're talking about it and it's always been there, but I also think it's been magnified a lot just because we're constantly seeing other people. Side note, that doesn't have to do with careers. Sarah and I had to have a little conversation about, not had to, but I had a conversation with Sarah about how like we sometimes will now get comments that are a little bit like, you're not agreeing with us and you have to put it on Instagram. And I've had a little bit more experience with this just from like growing a decent following and having people that don't agree with me. And I want to say that it's just like a lesson that you have to learn. We'll probably do a separate episode about it. But yeah, the comment that Sarah's referring to can be, they can just be off-putting when we're trying to promote a safe space for mental health and people like somehow disagree with us. And we don't think that we
have the best of intentions.
Right.
We would never want to maliciously like offend or hurt or anything.
And I think we can take fair criticism. We want to. We don't think everything that we say is right or good or everyone's experience. But at the same time, sometimes even on my personal Instagram, I'll get comments, DMs, things that I've talked about on the podcast that I'm just have to be like, okay, this comes with having any sort of influence at all.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd call, actually, you know what? I would call us influencers, not in the way that like people, you know, today are influencers, but we're influencing some people. Therefore, we're influencers. But my point is just like when you grow any sort of, I know, like flipping our hair. When you get any sort of decent following, there's always going to be people who don't agree with what you say. That doesn't necessarily have to do with career, although it does because we're talking about the LinkedIn thing.
Yeah.
But it's just a side note, like you have to learn it. And sometimes to learn that there's people that aren't going to agree with you is like you have to have, if you have any sort of voice and you're talking about important things and people follow you, there's going to be people who don't like it.
Right. And that's fine. And they can disagree. I would never want someone to think that we were
promoting unhealthy comparison behaviors. Right.
Or intentionally being like, what does she have? And like, why? Like, I don't want her to win because that means I don't win. It's like, we always talk about how there's room for everyone to succeed.
Yes.
We always say that. Yeah. So we would never want others to fail so that we could succeed. We just also want to succeed.
I also think when we make memes, sometimes I consider, do I want to be putting out a meme that's about anxiety and might like bring people anxiety? Or do I want to make memes that are all positive and helping people with their anxiety? And my answer is both or neither.
Right.
Like I don't want to constantly put out content that makes people like brings up anxiety or promotes this idea of like, oh, I have to compare myself on LinkedIn. But also we're trying to be relatable. We're not trying to be preachy and say like, you have to think this way in order to have a better life. Like no one's going to resonate with that either. So we're trying to do a mixture of both. And I think it's interesting because as we do more of the podcast, it relates back to what we're talking about, which is like, it is work. Because it's something that we're trying to build and we're trying to build an audience. And so we're inherently critical of like the feedback, not critical of the feedback. We're aware of the critical feedback that we get. So it just goes to show that when you start to do things and you're passionate about them, they're going to be hard. Even if you have a job that you don't like when you're working at things in life, you're inevitably going to get stressed about them.
Totally.
Compare yourself to other people.
And just to go off of one of the other things that you just said.
Queen.
Go off, sis. I follow a mix of accounts that have positive quotes and like funny anxiety memes.
Right.
Because the positive quotes help, but they can only help so much. The anxiety memes, I end up feeling less alone, which is also positive.
Yes. Agreed. Wholeheartedly.
So shifting gears a little bit to everyday anxieties at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just finished the book that Liz bought me for Secret Hanukkah Santa.
Harry gift exchange or whatever.
Yeah. So I read The Defining Decade, which I know has been out for a while and a lot of people have read it. I've actually heard about it a million times and I never actually like read it from start to finish. It was really good. I would recommend it. But
what's it about?
It's about, you know, it's actually funny because it wasn't actually written for me. Like it was written for the person that wrote it thinks it was written for me because she thinks that all 20 somethings want to push all big decisions to their 30s. Mm-hmm. And so she's speaking to like, you don't need to have it all figured out in your 20s, but you need to start making moves so that what you can have it figured out in your 30s. Like you can't work at Starbucks for all 10 of your 20 something years and then expect to have the career of your life in your 30s. Like she's like, you might not have the job of your dreams in your 20s, but you need to start building identity cap. Like you need to start putting in the effort into having at least figuring out what you like to do so that by your 30s, you can feel like you're on the road to getting there. So I really liked it. But, you know, for someone like me, who's just so anxious all the time about, like, is everything going to work out for me? I'm always, like, overanalyzing what I'm doing.
Is what I'm doing valuable?
Right.
Set me up for a career.
And she was really speaking to people who don't think like that. Like, 20-somethings who are pushing everything to their 30s, being like, I have so much time, like, I'm chill. And then they're like 27-year-olds who run into her office crying, being like, I'm realizing I'm almost 30 and now I feel like everything's too late for me. And of course it's not too late, but she's like, you need to shift your mindset to, like, what can I be doing now that's going to help me later?
It's sort of like what my therapist was saying, because it's not like you have to leap off the cliff and take a ton of risks and do all these different jobs, but rather start building things that will help set you up for a job that, or a, you know, a passion that might be more fulfilling to you. But what did you take away from the book that you liked?
I think if anything, it was comforting me that what I'm doing now will help me in my future, whether I see it now or not. Mm-hmm. I think I tend to overanalyze, like, every day, like, is what I'm doing going to help me in the long run? And I found out that it is, because for example, one of the stories that she shared in the book was that this guy came in and he was like, well, I don't know what I want to do, so I'm just not going to choose anything now and I'll figure it out later. And she's like, it doesn't matter if the job you're in now is what you're doing for the rest of your life, but if you start something now, you will learn whether or not that is what you want to do, and then you'll be able to cross it off the list. Like, it will push you forward, because you might be in this job and you might meet someone that's like, oh, I used to do this, and they're like, oh, tell me more about that, and then you learn what that is and you're like, oh, I want to do that, or you learn what your skills are and you're able to apply them in the next job. But anyway, the reason I brought the book up was because one of the stories that she shared was that someone was an executive assistant, and every single day they went to work being like, I'm gonna get fired, I'm doing a terrible job, they all hate me here, like, it's horrible, they yell at me all the time, I'm doing everything wrong. And then she had her 1-year review and they were like, we've never had a it was very Devil Wears Prada style, like, they were like, you're the best assistant we've ever had, like, she got promoted and everything. But every week she would go into therapy being like, they're gonna fire me, like, I'm doing such a horrible job, like, whatever. And the takeaway from that one story was that failures at work don't mean the solution is quitting or that they're going to fire you. Like, failures at work are very normal. And the key is to not take a failure and then decide, like, this isn't for me. The key is, like, how can you grow from the failure? Or, like, maybe you were doing something and you could be doing it in a different way that will result in a better outcome. And so I think I relate to that a lot, because I have a lot of anxiety at work where I think that every day I'm doing everything wrong. And I've had that anxiety since I started my job, and since then I've been promoted, and, you know, but I don't know. How do you feel at work? Like, when you go into work, do you feel like, wow, like, I'm really doing a great job? Or do you, like me, feel anxious? Am I doing well? Am I doing enough? What do they think about me?
Yeah, I never feel like I'm doing a good job. And occasionally I'll get feedback. Someone the other day, I actually have been writing it down when people give me positive feedback so that I try to absorb it and take it in more. But someone said, like, if you weren't here, like, this part of our practice would fall apart in 5 days. And he was obviously, like, speaking in hyperbole, but it made me feel really good that not only am I doing a good job, but that I'm adding value and, like, I'm a necessary part of the company. And that feels, like, even hard for me to say, because I'm still young and I feel like what I'm doing isn't actually contributing to the success of the company. But I think what he was saying was, like, I think if you weren't here, we would have a hard time carrying on all the things that we have to do, because you're, like, an integral part of our team.
Mm-hmm.
But I literally always think that I'm going to get fired. Like, yeah, I have that anxiety every time I go to work. I'm like, okay, today, every time, it's kind of like when my mom texts me, call me.
Yeah.
When my manager messages me and says, hey, would you mind coming up to my office? Or, hey, would you, like, can I speak to you on the phone for a second? Or anytime anyone calls me, I'm like, great, they're going to call me and tell me everything I did was wrong and that they have to let me go. And I don't, I want to talk about this because it's a real anxiety, but also that, like, I haven't been fired, and I don't want to make it seem like my life is so hard because I feel this way, because there are people who do get fired and laid off.
Well, that's the, like, thing is that in the book, it taught me that it's a very normal fear to have. And yeah, people do get laid off, but does that mean that you,
that, like, we're complete about it?
Yeah, it does. It doesn't mean A, that you're not allowed to be anxious about it, but B, if you do get laid off, like, it really most of the time probably didn't have anything to do with like how horrible you were at the job.
Like, yeah. And I do think like, obviously a lot of people's worst fear about work is getting fired. But I also, I don't know. I know people who have been fired and like,
I know a lot of
their lives have been tremendously better because of it. And I know that this is a little bit like Sarah and I do get spiritual on the podcast sometimes, but I don't think it's just a spiritual thing. I do think like everything happens for a reason. And I'm not saying like getting fired when you're in it, you'll be able to say, oh, this was meant to happen. Right. Because like in no way will you probably feel that way. Yeah. It's awful. And like, it feels like you did something so horribly wrong that they had to let you go from the company. But in all seriousness, I think that while it's a reasonable anxiety to have, and Sarah and I try to work through it, I think having an idea about the big picture and knowing that like, if you're fired from a job, you're not supposed to be there. Just like how right. if a person breaks up with you and like you really wanted to be with them, like why would you want to be with someone who was willing to like let it go? Because that's not like you shouldn't be defining your worth that way. You should be, you know, yeah. I don't know, more cognizant that having that anxiety is real. It's a reasonable anxiety, but also like you shouldn't live in fear that your job is going to let you go because like you're still going to be alive. You're still going to be here. You're going to figure it out. I don't know, that idea that people always tell me like it's just a job. Even my dad says that, and I've been talking about him a lot because he's the person in my family who's a little bit more like professionally driven and tries to, you know, instill like a sense of career success within me, which I don't think is bad. But he will say like it's just your job. Like you don't have to you're not defined by what happens at work. He doesn't say this, but I know that God forbid even if I was fired, like it would be awful, but that doesn't say like anything about who I am as a person. Mm-hmm. That's like how I was doing or how a company fit me.
Or how, you know, a company was doing.
How a company was doing,
like,
too.
Like, for example, WeWork just cut, I think, more than a third of their company. Staff,
yeah.
So,
Because their company was doing poorly.
Because the company was, and it came from all the way at the top.
Yep.
The one person at the very top that was supposed to be responsible about finances was not, and it trickled all the way down, and then a third of the company was laid off. And then I know that happens all the time. Like, companies don't have a need for a certain position anymore, so they let someone go. And I think in therapy, I've done a lot of like planning just in case I am fired, because I do have so much anxiety about it, so that my therapist is like, okay, like what would happen if you were fired? So I and I plan for it a lot. And then once you really talk it out, you realize that like 99.9% of the time, if you're fired, you're going to be fine to get another job.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to be out of career for the rest of your life.
You don't have a scarlet letter written on your
chest. The only way that you are going to be out of a career is if you went to jail.
Right.
And then it's very hard to get a career after that.
Shout out to Kim Kardashian for trying to fix that.
Yeah. But most of the time, if you don't have prison on your record, you're going to be fine to get another job.
Yeah. I think that there's a sense of like catastrophe when people get fired for good reason sometimes. Like I can't speak from experience, but when it happens, it's incredibly jarring. And I know that, like, I don't know, I'm in agreement with you that, and it kind of circles back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the episode, which is like there's not a loss of dignity in taking a job that wasn't necessarily what you were doing before. And sometimes you have to do something to find the next thing, or sometimes you have to take a job that's different from what you were doing before because it didn't work out with your previous company for a reason. And being able to find something different that maybe is a different skill set or just simply a totally different company is possible and probably good for your personal fulfillment overall.
Anyway, shifting back to everyday anxieties.
I think that when we talk about career anxiety, it's twofold, because on the one hand, we have the everyday. It's sort of interesting because there's probably a lot of people who listen who are like, I don't like my job. I really want something different. I want to find a job that I'm more passionate about. And yet they also have fear that they're going to get fired. It's just an interesting part of being a modern person in the workforce, is like you have this fear that you're going to be let go of your company, even though like there's some parts of you that are like, I would literally do anything I could to no longer work
here. Right. Like you might not even be liking your job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I don't think that anybody reasonably wants to get fired. But the point that Sarah and I are trying to make is that if the worst thing happens, or what you think is the worst thing happens, there's always going to be opportunities that are open to you. They just might not be as readily apparent when you're sitting in those scenarios.
And, you know, I can only speak to my own experiences in my lens of the world. Like I can try my best to see things from other perspectives, but at the end of the day, we only really know things from our own experiences. So would love to hear other opinions.
Yeah.
And would love to hear other experiences, because that's how we grow. But at the end of the day, I think that there are a lot of anxieties that come with work, especially in our like age group.
Yeah. In our current time period that we're in.
Yeah. And I think it's good because I think a lot of people in our age group use that anxiety to push them forward and grow.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that having anxiety about work is necessarily all bad. I think that if you like your job, maybe anxiety can, you know, a healthy dose of anxiety can help you to perform better and try and change the things that you're maybe not doing well. But of course, keeping anxiety at bay and knowing that a job is a job and that like the things that you do aren't going to impact your entire life or your personal life, and that sometimes prioritizing your personal life over work is the best thing you can do, even though there's constantly feedback about like you have to be at your desk for a certain amount of time, you have to be performing at this level of metrics. I think at the end of the day, like people always say, you're not going to die at your job, like you're not going to die with your job. Mm-hmm. Like the things that are important to you are like your personal relationships. You know, how much did I impact other people positively? Maybe you can do that at work, which is really awesome. And if you do that, like if you're a doctor, you work in a hospital, if you work at a nonprofit and you're helping people, I think that that's a great career that some people have, that they're able to impact people positively. But also if you're working at an office job and you don't necessarily see the direct impact of your work on other people, the chances are that you actually are impacting other people well. Like if you, I don't know, I'm thinking of people who maybe work in health insurance and it might seem like you're going through the motions of things that aren't necessarily super interesting to you, but you know, health insurance can help a lot of people when they might not be able to pay for a dramatic surgery or just being able to go to a doctor at all. So mm-hmm. like your role is important in the world. And if maybe you feel that it isn't, trying to find things on the side that fulfill you can be something that's really helpful and can help everything. Even if your side hustle, quote unquote, is not directly affecting your job, it can help your performance at your job more because you're able to take out that energy that you need to take out elsewhere, and then you can perform better at work.
Totally.
So do we have anything else we wanted to talk about with this?
I mean, there are of course coworker relations, but that's another
dynamics.
I don't even know if I want to
with other people
get into that now.
You mean just sometimes like you work with personalities that you don't mesh with, and then that's a source of anxiety.
I mean, a workplace, they're not hiring, and this is a good thing, but they don't hire all of the same people,
right?
Like, you know, everyone's very different from different backgrounds, which can lead to tension. It can lead to amazing and positive things for the company because different minds make different ideas and whatever, but it can also be really stressful. So
when you work with people that
are just like so different and you know, you can't like align on anything.
Yeah. And also you spend most of your time with those people.
Right. So you want to at least enjoy the people you work with
or be able to have a healthy like relationship with them where you can like take the things that they say and not take them home with you kind of thing. I agree. And I think that's a big thing about finding a job that you may not consider when you're first getting a job out of college or when you're just looking for something new. That I think is a huge part. And they always say like company culture is so mm-hmm. important, but it actually is, because the people that you work with can make or break a job. Like you could be doing something totally boring and terrible, but if you're working with good people, it can make a difference. If you're working at a company where the actual project that they're working on is something you're passionate about, but you're working with really horrible people, it can totally make or break mm-hmm. your situation. So when you're interviewing for jobs or when you're hiring people, considering personalities that are willing to learn, that are willing to work with new people, that might add to your team is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And can certainly contribute to your overall mental health, I would imagine, probably more so than the actual work that you're doing is
totally
the people that you're around.
100%.
So when it comes to careers, we're still figuring it out, just like with everything, I guess. Yep. And we'll update you as we go.
As always, would love to hear like opinions, thoughts, questions.
Yeah.
So let us know. And if you have, if you're listening to this, I hope you had yesterday off.
Yes, we do. But if you didn't, again, we hope it was a day that didn't stress you out too much.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Well, with that. You always do this part.
You can follow our podcast at It's Fine I'm Fine Pod on Instagram. You can follow me at Liz Height.
You can follow me at Sarah L. Sassone.
That's N like Nancy. Nancy. Rate, keep subscribe, review, share, keep talking, lick locking. what do they say?
I don't know.
We love you. Thank you for listening to us as we kind of try and figure this out for ourselves.
Yeah, we're still navigating. I mean, I've only been in the workforce for 3.5 years, so I really don't have like too much experience to speak to, but
we try to cover all the bases when it comes to things that give us anxiety, and this is one of them.
So. Totally. All okay. Right. With that, it's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Bye.
My hands are clammy again. I'm sorry.
Every time.